Today is Trinity Sunday, the day when we celebrate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, yet one God. And interestingly, this is the one festival in the Christian era that doesn't relate to specific events that happened in the Bible, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost. Those are the events which are happened in the life of Christ or in the life of the Church. But Trinity Sunday is different. It refers to a reality that has no date, and it leads us to ask, why is our God called the Holy Trinity? Was He always the three in one, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer? Was He always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. Though the word Trinity isn't found anywhere in the Bible, the concept or doctrine of it is throughout. There are hints all the way through the Old Testament of the plurality as opposed to the singularity of God. The very first verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created." The word God is Elohim in Hebrew, which means three persons, three, you know, because that is plural word. God is one, yet God is three. Last week we celebrated the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the followers of Jesus. We celebrated that presence, that power, that force. And I assume that all of us here have experienced that power, that person who gives shape to much that we see and hear, what we do and say. Just as only a few weeks earlier, we celebrated the resurrection of a man who is somehow more than a man, who is one whom our hearts and minds say, he's more than a man, he's more than a good person, more than a religious leader, more than an angel, and yet was so much one of us. Jesus, our teacher and guide, our shepherd, and the guardian of our souls. Jesus, our Lord and our God. The purpose of my sermon here this morning is not to prove the Trinity, but rather to worship and adore the Trinity. Because the Trinity is not given to us to argue about. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one forever and ever and are worthy of our eternal praise. What makes us worship the triune God? What makes all of this possible? Grace. Grace and His mercy. Many people, many Jews and other people are still perplexed and confused about it. It is by God's grace that we are able to both understand and worship. It's by God's grace that through faith we can experience the power of the Holy Spirit. The idea of the Trinity tells us something about how God is revealed to us, how God works in human events, but it doesn't fully tell us who or what God is. I guess that is the secret of this experience, this understanding we have of God as a Trinity. It doesn't tell us fully. What it does tell us, some important life-changing stuff. Trinity Sunday is the essential reminder coming around once every year that we cannot fully grasp or understand who God really is. We just can't put God in a box and say, this is God. The problem here is that Christianity is not an equation or a theorem. Christianity is the revelation of God in Jesus Christ through the help of the Holy Spirit. We Christians are often questioned if we believe in one God or three gods. And we reply, we believe in one God who is three in one. You know, sometimes you just have to celebrate the faith we have. Celebrate the faith we have. Because the faith leads to revelation. And yes, the doctrine we have of the Holy Trinity, the understanding we have of the God that made it all, the understanding we have of how it all works, it's human tendency, it's human nature to understand things by comparing and contrasting. When it comes to comparing God, who or what is similar to God? Who is God like? To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One in the same chapter of the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, which part of which has been read to us. And it's an interesting idea. How do you compare an infinite being in power and wisdom with finite beings? We cannot compare anyone or anything to God. He is incomparable. He stands alone. No one or thing can be compared to God. Our reading from the book of Isaiah tells us that God is infinite in His holiness, power, intellect, and wisdom. Nothing is like Him. Thinking about it, we realize that God must be larger than any statement we can make about God. God is so vast and so beyond our comprehension that there are no words in existence capable of fully describing God. All language of God is ultimately metaphorical. We start comparing God, or we have different analogies. For example, water. Okay, water is liquid, solid, ice or vapor, you know. Or some people compare God with egg. The egg has eggshell, egg yolk and white substance. Or with light, because light you can see some of the part of the light and some of the part you cannot see, and then you can experience the heat of the light. So people start comparing, but all these examples, these analogies are inadequate. And all the more when we think about the Holy Trinity, we say, how can three be one? God always will be beyond the capacity of our human understanding. But we should always bear in mind that we live by faith as well as by knowledge. And it's faith that teaches us that God is indeed three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because experience comes before explanation. The Holy Trinity is definitely one of those difficult, challenging, thought-provoking doctrines of our faith, but we should not think of it as an exam question that must be answered before we will be admitted to the heavenly banquet. We can acknowledge it by faith, even when we cannot understand it by knowledge. The doctrine of the Trinity is a brief born out of the experience of ordinary Christians as a real life answer to the question, where do we find God? It's an answer that we believe God has given us. God has made God's self known to us in three unique ways, so that there is only one God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God who is loving, just, holy, intimate, powerful, wrathful, forgiving, and whole. Think of the words of Psalm 8, which we read responsively this morning. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what are mortals that you should be mindful of them? Mere human beings that you should seek them out." And don't our hearts echo the truth of these words, even as we understand and applaud the story of creation itself? O Lord, O God, how exalted is your name in all the earth. God is a mystery, my friends. A mystery so big, so awesome, so holy, that our limited minds can never grasp its fullness. Yet God has placed in us a capacity to appreciate and know the mystery of God. God has taken on flesh in our midst. In Christ, God reveals himself. In Christ, God became incarnate. The person you can touch, feel, and know. My friends, without this revelation of God, whom we call the Christ, you and I would not have the promises nor the inheritance to come. Jesus is the only one who reveals the way to us, who speaks the truth to us, who gives life by his touch and by his word. Jesus is the only one who died and rose again. Jesus shows us the way and is the way. It has seemed good to hundreds of generations of our spiritual ancestors to remember this truth on this day of the year in a particular and special way, as we do today. We remember Jesus' own words to his followers, spoken shortly before his ascension into heaven. "All authority and in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." We remember and we go forth not simply because it has been commanded, but because in gratitude to our Lord for what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.